97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Great to have Genevieve Wood back with us from the Heritage Foundation, senior advisor there. And Genevieve, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Glad you're still safe and sound there in Washington, D.C.
Safer by the moment.
Safer all the time. I love that. I love that. You know, I was looking at the Daily Signal yesterday, and I come across this story that with this title, and it caught my eye. Teaching is sacred, not transactional. We need to restore student-first status in America's schools. That seems like such an obvious statement, but what the author here, Stephen Cutchins, has pointed out, who is a teacher, by the way, is that we have drifted so far from that model in America, you almost don't recognize it anymore.
Yeah, he talks about the fact that, you know, schools shouldn't be like Walmarts, where you just come in and you pick out what you want, and then it's all just very transactional. But the question we should always be asking is what he points out in the article is, what is best for the students? And that's what every teacher should be asking, what every principal should be asking, what every school system should be asking. But unfortunately, that's rarely, they say that oftentimes, but when it comes down to it, it's rarely about the students. It's what the school system wants. It's what the bureaucracy wants, much more than it is the actual individual students.
Yeah. Here's one of the things he points out. In higher education, I often hear leaders admit that their institutions sometimes drift into a professor-first mindset, faculty prestige or institutional reputation overshadows the mission. And I think that's true, although it's referring to professors, I think that's true whether it's secondary education or college, right?
No, absolutely right. And it's why things like, you know, giving parents and students the options to choose the kind of schools and education that are best for them, it's what's best for students. And that doesn't mean that every school choice program is the best option for students. That's why you can't have a top-down, as President Trump has talked about, having a Department of Education in Washington tell all 50 states and communities around the country how to run their schools. There's been way, way too much of that, as opposed to asking, what do individual students in my community need? What's going to be best for them? That's the question we should be, that's the approach we should be taking when we're setting education policy, which should be happening at the local level.
Yeah, very true. I've got an article here that I haven't gotten to yet this morning, but it talks about the fact that the Senate may be planning to do an end run on some of Trump's nominees that he can't get through. He's got a lot of people for lower level positions that he can't get through the Senate right now. Judicial nominees, though, are another issue. He's been able to get a number of those through. Is there a ranking? Have you guys been taking a look at this at Daily Signal?
Yeah, we do. We have a judicial tracker where we track the nominees that have been made, and we track, you know, which ones have now been confirmed. And the reality is that when you look at it right now, when President Trump came in this year, there were just fewer open slots for judges than when he came in the first time around. One reason, not only did he have three Supreme Court justices he got to nominate last time, but he nominated over almost 250 judges at the federal bench levels as well, the appellate levels. But when he came in this time, there were fewer judges. Now that could certainly change over the next 2 to 3 years. You could have retirees and the like. But even then, you know, in states where you've got a Democratic senator, so if you don't have two Republicans, you've got, say, one Republican, one Democrat, if the president nominates an appellate court judge in that state, a Democrat can do what they call a blue slip, raise a blue slip and say, I don't want to have a hearing on that. Now, it works both ways. Republicans have done that to, you know, in the state of North Carolina, for instance, there are four judicial judgeships open that both Tom Tillis and Ted Budd, the two Republican senators from North Carolina, said we're not going to allow Biden to fill these seats. So now there's four judgeships in North Carolina that President Trump will get to fill. So it does work both ways, but you have to keep your eye on it.
You do, and I know that the president had been pretty critical of Chuck Grassley for continuing that tradition.
Yes.
Because it's blocked him from putting Alina Haba in office, apparently. Because the two Democrats in that state tried to block her there. So, I don't know. It's got its pros and cons.
But it's helped you in, like, Missouri, though, because you have senators who will help appoint the judges.
Sure.
So it depends. It's very difficult to say, and I understand why the president's frustrated about it, but you know, heaven forbid, the next time around there's a liberal in office, you would want conservatives in the Senate to be able to have that kind of power.
Yeah. Hey, recently, Jerry Nadler announcing his retirement. He probably saw the handwriting on the wall. And the question, I think, becomes, are we going to see this trend before the 26th election? I mean, there's a lot of old Democrats in that House and Senate. You got Pelosi and Claiborne and Hoyer and Waters and Pascrell and Napolitano. I mean, there's so many old 85-plus congressmen. Are they all going to kind of maybe look to step aside and let youth come in and give them a better chance?
It's funny, as you were saying some of those names, I'm like, are they still in?
Yeah.
it's like you can't get over. Oh, well, Jerry Nadler's been in for 30 years. I mean, sometimes I can't believe how long it's been. This is one of the few times I agree with him about something, which is, you know, he said I took a look at what, you know, happened with President Biden and thought, you know, maybe somebody younger can do a better job, maybe have more energy and get more done. I think it's good that he's doing that. And, of course, whoever replaces him probably is not going to be much more helpful.
based on the
district. But, no, I think you likely are going to see this. I mean, Dick Durbin, the senator in Illinois, he's already announced he's not going to retire. You've had some folks, I think, in Texas like Lloyd Doggett making similar announcements. But, yeah, I think between now and probably the end of this year, you're going to have a number of folks stepping down. And, look, I don't want to get caught up in ageism, but you have both sides of the aisle. You have people, it's not just that they're now 80 years old. You know, I know a lot of people that are 80 that are super sharp, but it's more of the fact that you've been there for 30 years.
Yeah, Grassley,
you know,
Rogers.
That's really, honestly,
yeah,
the bigger problem.
Yeah. Durbin's been, he's 80. I didn't realize Dick Durbin's 80 years old. Wow.
And Republicans, you got Grassley, you got Rogers. I mean, a lot of old guys.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And especially when it's like you're in a state, you're in a seat where you know you're going to have a good replacement. But Nadler here is not worried about the fact that some our conservative Republicans going to replace him.
Nope.
So it's not, and there's a lot of Republicans you could say the same. So you'd be doing your party probably some help if you took a look at, you know, the fact that maybe, hey, it's time for me to let some new blood come in here.
Genevieve, always great having you on. Have a great week.
Thank you, gentlemen.